The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat. This week, there wasn't really a lot of news, but we find a few things to talk about, namely the Joker trailer and the upcoming movie, our thoughts on that. We also touch on the upcoming Netflix experiment. That's kind of funny. And a few other things. But of course, after all that, we get into our books this week and we get into what we've read. So let's head into the store. Hey, John, how we doing?
I'm doing great, DJ. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Ready to go.
Good. Ready to go.
We'll bounce back here, hopefully, from our last one.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, to those that listened, we made the comment in the show that, you know, how bad it was and that we were sorry. But listening back to it, it didn't sound that way. Like, if we wouldn't have said anything, nobody would have ever known because
the magic of
the mythical post that we talked about.
Yep.
Went in and took care of all of that for us. So.
We had some audio issues. We had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, we had it was
cleaned it up as best I could.
It was like the roughest one we've ever had, I think.
That was a bad night. That was a bad night. If that happened like one of the first weeks we were doing this, we probably wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
That was a stressful night. Learned a lot that night. Anyways.
Although you say that, but our first couple were pretty challenging,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but we didn't know any better.
Yeah.
They only sound challenging now, and you look back and you go, oh, God. But, yeah. So, hey, I want to jump right into something I thought was really, really funny.
Go ahead.
In the news, I think it came out today or yesterday. I was cracking up, laughing so hard.
Okay.
Netflix. Netflix.
Yeah, that was, well, I had that. Yeah, I had that as a news story too.
Come on. They can't even get out of their own way.
Yeah.
Everybody in the, and this is, okay, so when Disney Plus said they're going to go week to week, like, you know, DC Universe goes week to week, you know.
And Hulu,
they do week to week. I was all for Disney Plus doing that, obviously. I don't care either way. Like you said, I don't care whatever they give us. But here's the thing. I'm kind of against Netflix going that way because I feel like they're shooting. I'm like, look, buddy, you're the one guy on the block doing the one cool thing now. And they're going to experiment with going week to – what do you mean experiment? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that is that, you know, Disney's going to be a juggernaut. Don't get me wrong. Like, we all know that Disney's going to have a bunch of subscribers, you know, right out the gate, and they're going to come on strong. But, I mean, Netflix is still the one to beat. Like, they're the king of the hill.
Though?
They are. Yes, they are.
But it's kind of like you're the big kid on the block because nobody else lives on the block yet. And here comes
the Disney Plus
kid moving in next door, and you're like, uh-oh.
Even still, regardless of how they got there, they've got a subscriber base that it's going to take anybody years and years to match. And to me, Netflix doesn't have to make this change. Like I said, they rule the roost.
Yeah.
You know, if they feel like it's a better business model for them, then more power to them. But you're right. It kind of feels like they're wanting to play ball with, you know, the new kids on the block.
Right.
And
well, they're copying the new kids because they know that they're successful, but they have, you know, it's like, what, why? Just do you. Be you.
Right.
You know, it's like, I mean, I'm sure there's a million podcasts out there doing comics, and I do listen to some of them, but I'm not like, not that we're big, but just do you. That's what you know, that's who you are. Netflix has been doing it this way for forever. And that's what people like, to the point that there was a lot of backlash over Disney Plus doing this. And now Netflix.
There was.
And Netflix doesn't read the backlash. They want to see if they can do it too.
Well, and there's been backlash to them already as well.
Of course.
Yeah. For something they haven't even done yet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, because for all we know, they might be testing it with one show.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's no.
Well, I did hear it's like a few shows they're going to do it with. I didn't really get into it. I was laughing too hard.
I didn't either. I didn't go deep into the article. But I did save that as one of my news stories as well.
So. Yeah, I thought that was hysterical because I was just like, yeah. You're so big. You're doing well. You're doing you. But don't try to copy the other guys just because, like, right. No. So, all right. How about the Joker trailer? That was last week. I had it in my notes. Yeah. I purposefully didn't bring it up because I know how much we're against the Joker trailer. The Joker.
Yeah, well, I purposely didn't watch it. So.
You didn't watch it?
No, I mean, you know I don't watch trailers.
Okay, so then we won't get.
I mean, I've heard great things about the trailer and the movie.
Yeah,
but I didn't watch the trailer.
So basically, not giving anything away, it just the trailer basically. Tells us what we already know about the production of it and that it's
right.
Awesome. I mean, it just looks like it's so well done. The production quality is incredible. The acting, just the glimpses that you get to see are really, really, you know, top notch to the point that everybody's talking like Oscar buzz, using those terms and they're pushing for Oscar, whatever. Off of a trailer.
Right.
Well,
it did have a screening.
Yes, I was just going to say.
It did supposedly get like an 8-minute ovation when it was over.
Right.
So
the one thing.
Now, this is an ovation at a screening with a bunch of people that were like, you know, predisposed to liking this movie anyways. I don't know.
Well, no,
I don't know who was.
I
don't know who was in the audience. Yeah, I don't know who was really in the audience for that. But
here's the irony:
you know, it was really just a bunch of Warner Brothers employees, and so they all stood up and clapped.
Right,
take that for what it's worth.
But here's the irony: I think is that that's kind of telling you that this movie is so well done that the critics are going to love this. But the fans are going to kind of maybe cringe a little because people like us are like, wait a minute. I know this movie is really well done, but I don't know if I want this story.
Well, there's lots of movies that the critics love.
Right. But not comic book movies, I mean.
They're not really good movies. No, but I'm saying there's lots of movies that the critics love that aren't really
right.
That good. But I'm with you. Like, we've said this, you know, we're beating a dead horse because we've said this multiple times. I have no doubt in my mind that this is going to be a great movie. I mean, look at the actors that are in it. Look at the producers. Everybody involved
right.
are superstars. So it's going to be a great movie. It's just, I still don't know if I want this movie. You know, we've said it a million times.
Well,
for the same reasons that we keep saying, because I don't want to know who the Joker is.
Right.
I don't want to know why the Joker is. And I don't want to feel bad for the Joker watching this movie.
Well, not only that, I was talking with my wife about this. And one of the things that I said to her is one of the things about the Joker that makes him so scary is that unknown about him.
Right.
Right. And then I put it to an analogy of like when you're watching the news. And you see a horrible crime on the news, something like family, you know, let's go Joker-esque and like family right. murdered in home. And your first thought is, oh, my God, why? What? Why would this happen? And you get scared for you, for your family or for whatever. Right. And then as they describe what happened, like, well, the father had a history of drug use and he was big into right. gambling. And then they suspect this. And you immediately, as the viewer of the news, goes, oh, whew. You know, it wasn't a random
right.
act. And you get a sense.
Right. Once they start putting a face to it.
Right. Or a reason behind it. And you're like,
right.
you can, not to blame the family. The family shouldn't have to deal with that. But you look at it and go, whew, I don't have drug use. I don't have gambling. So my
right.
family's safe. You know what I mean? It's like But so that's what I think with the Joker. It's like, if you all of a sudden put a rationale behind this, it makes him feel like, okay, I'll just avoid a person like that, or, you know,
right,
whatever it is. It's like the Joker, the unknown, is what is so scary to us. You right. know, going back to Jaws, the unknown. I don't know. And the one last thing I'll say is, the one thing I'm scared of, fear, because you don't know, with this movie, is that I'm afraid it's going to be so good, but everybody, like, comic book fans will know this isn't canon. But everybody else will be like, well, remember in The Joker, they told... That doesn't count. Well, but they told right. you... No, that it's not... No, that's just a one-off. Don't worry. And it's just... I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, obviously, we're going to go see it.
Of course.
Obviously.
Opening night.
Like I said, I'm very confident that it'll be a good movie. I'm really confident that I'll actually like the movie. I'm sure I will.
Right.
It's just not something that I'm really, that I necessarily wanted or needed. I feel like I will treat it as just, like, to me, this won't necessarily be a DC Comics movie. Like, I'm going to go into this just viewing it as a guy that, you know, it's beat down by society and puts on some makeup and goes out and kills a bunch of people, you know?
Right.
It's just going to be one of those type of movies. Like, to me, it'll never really be or feel like a DC Comics comic book movie, you know?
One of my things is people are equating it to Venom and not using Spider-Man. And they're saying, well, they did that and that came out pretty good. So maybe they could do a Joker without Batman. And it's like, but not really, because that'd be like having a Batman movie or a Superman movie or a Spider-Man, any of this, take any hero and don't put a villain in the movie.
Right.
You know, it's like not just Batman without Joker. This is Joker without the sole purpose of the person that chases him.
Right.
There's
it's
no
just, like,
other superhero against him.
I don't need to see a Superman movie with him running around getting cats out of trees and,
right.
you know, putting out forest fires or, you know, doing whatever else he might be doing because there's no villain to fight.
Well,
that's not a very compelling, it's not really a compelling movie.
The one argument to that would be the show Smallville, but here's where you get back, but let me finish.
They still seem to have had a million villains in Smallville.
But I would say, but the other part of that is, we do want to see a backstory to our heroes.
Right.
And to most of the villains. But I think the thing with Joker is he is the one villain that has no backstory.
Right.
You know, it's like, I mean, Two-Face has backstory. You know where he came from. You know what happened.
Well, I guess to equate it, you know, this is kind of off the table now since Disney bought Fox, but at one point there were plans on a standalone Doctor Doom movie over there at Fox. And
that's fine.
Like, I'm on board, right, I'm on board for that. Even if it's just about Doom and there's no Fantastic
right.
Four or nobody in it, because again, he's a character that is a known quantity to us. We
right.
know his origin, we know his backstory, and I'm okay watching a movie that details all of that.
But here's the thing.
Because it's not telling me anything that we don't already know.
Right.
Whereas, again, with the Joker, one of the biggest things, and it's worked for 80 years. Like, for 80
yes.
years, we've not known anything about the Joker. And I think it needs to stay that way.
But that's what I was going to say. It's like, take any other villain. You can give me a backstory of any other villain. And we've
right.
said this. We've said this for years, long before they even thought of making a movie. The thing that was special about Joker is you don't know where he came from. He's the only character that's like that. And
yeah.
it's, I mean, they reference it in Dark Knight when he, you know, when Alfred's like, you know, some people just want to, they don't know why. They just want to watch the world burn. I don't,
right.
that's what's special about this character is that we don't know. And I'm afraid that we're going to know. It's like, but.
Well, the flip side to that is that, even for us, is that it's not canon.
Right.
So we can watch this
yep.
movie and whatever they say, and that doesn't mean anything the next time we see Joker on screen in a, you know, quote-unquote
right.
DC Universe movie, it won't reference this at all. And that's why I'm saying, to me, this is just a movie about a guy.
Right.
And it'll be a good movie, and that's the way I'm going to treat it.
Right.
Because he's not doing anything else related anyway. It's like, we're not going to get Batman. We're not going to get anybody else in this movie regardless. So, to me, I don't need to even think of it as a...
Yeah.
Like I said, as a DCEU movie. So.
All right, what do you got? See if it matches up with anything I've remembered.
I don't have any. Honestly, this is a pretty slow news week, I thought.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to reference that by the story that I'm going to talk about right now and illustrate how slow of a news week it was. Because apparently over there at the CW, Candace Patton has gotten permission from the producers to have curly hair this season.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was a couple weeks ago I saw that.
And she is super happy by this news because now other girls with curly hair can look up to her and not be ashamed of their curly hair. So... That's what qualifies as news.
That is slow
these days. I don't know. It might have even been a week ago or more. I don't know. It popped up on my feed again today or yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that like a week or so, week ago.
And
I think, yeah.
it just amazes me what qualifies as a story.
Well, actually, when I read that, I could relate to her because I understand what she's saying because. If you have like her, you saw the pictures, how curly her hair is, right? Well, imagine if you wanted to keep that. Maybe she wanted to keep it, but everybody's telling her, no, this is the look we need to have. We want you to have straight hair. And you're like, I don't want to have straight hair. And you have to go through that process. And then you have to live with that all the time. So it's like, I don't know. I could see.
I would say that Peter Mayhew isn't covered with hair from head to toe.
Yeah, but that's...
Joaquin Phoenix doesn't have white paint on his face all day, every day.
You
dress up for a role.
Right.
I mean, that's... You play a part.
Correct. But she has to keep that hair 24/7. You can't just take it off at the end of the day and go... You know, you'd have to redo your hair. So once you straighten your hair, it has to kind of stay that way. So she has to live with that during the shooting season. You know what I mean? And if she's not comfortable and doesn't want to have to deal with it, I'm sure it's easier, too, with her curly hair. She just gets up in the morning, and it's just like, poof. So I don't want to argue about this.
I guess, Mr. Brightside, you know, Amelia Clark wears a wig every day on the set of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but that's a wig.
It's just...
You take it off.
She was probably wearing a wig, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but look, you have a beard. Imagine if a role told you you had to have a beard, but you didn't want to have one. But you can't shave it at the end of the cat.
They could just go in after the filming and digitally remove it.
No. They told you had to have one.
They could digitally add it.
Yeah.
You know? Like they did to Henry Cavill.
I'm just saying that I didn't find it to be offensive or anything. I didn't even find it funny. I thought it was actually kind of cool. I'm like, oh, good for her.
I don't find it offensive in any way.
But you're right.
I just
that is a slow news day if that's what struck you.
Right. I just think that what qualifies as news because it popped up on like multiple like from 10 different sources reported this thing, you know.
Well, yeah.
Every website that reports on this stuff, CBR, We've Got It Covered, Hollywood Report, all these sites, everybody picked this up and ran with
can
it.
You give me
like,
somebody of note.
Well,
it's
this
not like
is where
Time
all our
magazine
news...
had her on the cover.
I mean, this is where all our news comes from, man. So
yeah, let me go with something a little bit more in our wheelhouse. Looks like,
well, I mean, that's The Flash.
Yeah, I know, and I'm gonna go with that. The Flash, the movie, has a director
again.
Have you seen that?
I mean, I've seen it multiple times.
Director Andy Muschietti. From It, he's just finishing up. Well, they're on the tour for It 2, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's confirmed his next project is going to be the Flash movie. So we have that. Not excited about that, huh?
Well, I just don't know where. I just don't know where that's going. You know, like what part of the universe is this going to be part of? Because.
Well, it's just like Aquaman and Wonder Woman stories.
Yeah, they've already kind of said they're walking away from that Justice League universe, but...
Yeah, but they still they want to do standalones, and this would fall into that. I don't know if you understood Flash as a standalone.
I understand that, but it seems to me, like, when they made this decision you know, the just, I mean, the Aquaman movie was already in production. You know, these things were already in place and they weren't going to shut them down just because they decided to walk away from the Justice League.
Okay.
This is not in production. Like, this is something they could actually choose to do or not do. You know, I mean, it's not already.
Right. But they found Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam to be very successful standalones. And yeah. I think they want to keep going with that and do a Flash and then maybe a Green Lantern, or because we've heard rumors of that. Who knows? And then once, you know, maybe they keep saying, oh, this is the way we want to go, but maybe in the future they'll revisit the bringing them all together type thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm honestly not super excited about this. You know, once again, we'll have to see. The, you know, time will tell.
Yeah.
And it could be great. But I would argue that...
I think it's kind of...
I would argue that when the Justice League movie came out, a lot of people were very high on Jason Momoa and very high on Gal Gadot. There weren't a lot... There were not a lot of people that were super happy about Ezra Miller and yeah. The Flash. And to continue down that path seems wrong-headed to me. So, we'll see. I could be completely wrong. But he was not one of the most popular parts of the Justice League movie.
No,
so
but...
And, why continue his character arc?
But, you know. Yeah, but... Yeah. Because that's what... Well, we don't know who's going to play the part. We don't know if it's still
him. Well, it's Ezra Miller. Well, he says it is.
He says it is. But, again, yeah. That goes back and forth.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can. What about this? Wyatt Russell cast as U.S. agent for the Falcon Winter Soldier show.
Yep.
Did you see that? I
saw that. Yeah. So the only thing I took away from that is that it's not going to be Henry Cavill because we talked about that.
Yes. Yeah.
A few
good
weeks
point.
Ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You had said that. You had speculated that. So that I think is that whole. That story is
well, and the fact that you saw where Anthony Mackie has come out and said that he was not going to be referred to as Captain America at all in that show. So,
well, that might just mean he doesn't take that name. He might have like the
well, he's still going to have the shield,
Captain,
and I'm
Falcon.
Sure he's going to have a right. He's going to have a version of the
well,
of
he
the
had,
Captain
we've
America
seen him
outfit.
In the uniform.
Yeah,
his version of the uniform.
But supposedly he is not going to be referenced as Captain America at all in the show. So
right, but John Walker was Captain America at one time. So
was
Bucky. So what right. You know? It so you had. I think they're introducing. But he was also Walker, or was also a bad guy. So
and a Texas Ranger.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? So it's like there's a possibility. I think it just adds more depth to the show. And
it makes it
harder for us to figure out where the show's going to go. And in turn, what is this going to do for the MCU going forward?
Right. Well, because again, I would say you're not introducing this character just for the show.
Right.
You know, he is going to play a part somewhere down the line.
In their plan somewhere. The only thing I recognize him from was he was in, 22 Jump Street?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, he was the quarterback. He was the best friends with Channing Tatum.
Okay. Yeah, I don't
character.
Know who he is. I've never seen
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he's funny. He was good. So let's see. What else do we got here?
Well, I've got another to piggyback off of the things that I don't want. Did you see the news that the CW is considering an Arrow 2030 spinoff using basically the
kids? The show takes place not in 2030. The spinoff takes place. It takes place in 2030. Not
right.
We have to wait till 2030.
No. The show, basically Arrow, like Spider-Man 2099, it'd be like Arrow 2030 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A spinoff with basically the future timeline.
Didn't
we
say
speculating.
That last season? You and I speculated.
Well,
we wondered
what might happen with those characters because we spent an awful lot of time with them.
Yeah.
But I saw a news story the other day that now the CW is seriously considering that as a spinoff to Arrow. I just want to go on record saying I don't want that at all.
Then
in any fashion.
You don't have to watch it.
I won't. I won't, but I'm just saying, I think that's really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, who wants that? Like, those characters aren't that compelling. Like, they were the worst part of last season of Arrow. That whole storyline was the worst part of the show. It's where I never wanted to be. Every episode when we went to that future timeline, I couldn't care less. It's like the year 1000 timeline in House of X. You know, I don't care. I don't want to be there.
You're more of a here and now type of guy, huh?
Yes. Yeah. I am. The only time that matters is the present. So.
Nice.
I don't know. Like I said, it's just something I don't want. And I get it. I don't have to watch it. And I more than likely will not watch it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's so many properties that they could be exploring for TV properties. Like, if they're looking for new shows to take the place of what they're losing.
Yeah.
This is so far down the list of things that I would want or that they could do. I don't know why they're even in that arena when there's so many things they could.
Right.
Like, let's get a Blue Beetle and Booster Gold show. Let's get something, that's more exciting than these made up characters. Like, these are just made up characters from Arrow. They're not even DC heroes.
Good point.
Or characters.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, we have Tom King tweeting out the other day, starting next week, Batman 78 and 79, which focus on Batman and Catwoman after the wedding.
Yep.
So, does that mean we're getting away? They're going to take a break from what we've been dealing with in the latest ones? Because that wasn't wrapped up in 77.
Well, it's not wrapped up, and I don't necessarily read it that way, because they were together in that issue. I mean, in 77, Bruce and Selina were already back together. So I would imagine that they're continuing the City of Bane events.
Okay.
Just that they're going to be, I guess, together and probably hashing out some of the conversations that they need to have based around what happened in the wedding. So yeah, maybe so. Like,
not really. Maybe you're right.
It's been 2 weeks now, so we can just spoil it. You know, the end of 77. Maybe we do. Maybe 78 is an interlude, and we don't deal with Alfred's death at all.
Right.
But I would think by 79, we're right back. Well, you know, we would be right back in.
Did you see his other tweet where he said, "I think he just finished the last book," and he mentioned that, and he says, you know, Alfred is mentioned a lot or something like that in his tweet.
Oh.
So
I didn't see that. But.
You know, what I can't, I wish I, maybe I did save it. I don't know. But yeah, it's maybe let's not even go in that direction. I was just going to speculate on maybe he reassesses himself because of Alfred's death, blah, blah, blah. Let's wait till next week.
Yeah.
I'm actually very much looking forward to that.
I am too. I saw today that they just announced a sequel to Tomb Raider. So we're now going to get Tomb Raider 2 with, I don't know, how do you pronounce her name? Alicia Vikander will return in 2021 as Lara Croft. So another movie that nobody's going to go see after the last Tomb Raider movie that nobody went to go see. I don't know. I didn't see that movie, so I can't really comment on whether it was good or bad. I didn't hear great things about it, so it surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't seen the latest one.
That they were going to do a sequel to it.
Did you see that Melissa Benoit and Chris Wood got married?
Got married, yeah.
I didn't.
Well, I knew they were a couple.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, I've known for a long time. Yeah. Kevin Smith talks about it, like, every time he does a podcast.
Oh, really?
Because he's directed several episodes of Supergirl.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's mentioned it many times. They've been a couple since, like, his first season on the show. So that didn't surprise me at all.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of a sucker for that stuff. Like, when you see characters that are together, like Oliver and Felicity, you know, and you're like, oh, that'd be so good. And then if you found out or even like Big Bang Theory, where Leonard and Penny were really dating in real life, you're like, that is so cool. You're like, oh, they're really together.
It's better than finding out they can't stand each other.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd on Moonlighting way back in the day couldn't stand each other, but,
yeah,
you know.
And actually, that's the way they portrayed it on the show, too.
Well, yeah, but after a certain point, they had that Sam and Diane relationship where they eventually got together.
Yeah, exactly.
But to me, that's when that show went downhill and went off the air. So
yeah.
It's always the thing, right? You always want these couples to get together when you watch a show, and then once they finally get together, that's where the show goes downhill.
Right.
In most cases, and ends up not being good anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, we can't have what we want. Damn it.
No. So just to get back to quickly, we touched on this a while back. Disney re-releasing every single Star Wars movie on Blu-ray with new cover art.
Again, yeah, we talked about that.
I've been going over this report over and over, searching for any difference, and the only thing I'm seeing is cover art.
It's right. And then
that does
actually
not make sense.
And since D23 has come and gone, actually,
yeah,
there was no announcement about. I really expected to hear some kind
4K
of
4K release or something.
I really did. I'm really surprised that they didn't announce that. Because it doesn't make sense. There's nothing to draw people back to purchase these releases.
Why would I want
this? You can still get the Blu-ray releases in stores now.
But the cover, why would I want this over, if it's the exact same thing, over the box set that I have?
That's what I mean. You can still buy that now.
I know.
It's not like it's been off sale for 2 years and it's coming back. It's only replacing what's already on sale with different art for the, you know, for the cover.
Right. And
so
I know we're crazy fanatic fans.
Yeah, but I'm not doing that.
It's like
Well, like I said, I refuse to buy another release anyway, unless it's 4K and it's despecialized, because that's the only way I'm buying these things again.
Yeah.
I may buy 4K releases, even if they are the special editions, but I don't even know 100% that I'll do that.
I would. I'm not that upset about the, you know, special editions as some people I do appreciate the despecialized, which I may have on the way.
And I have in my closet.
I know you do.
And again, once you get them, the quality is great. Like you,
I can't wait when they get here.
I know you'll be pretty surprised.
Yep.
But still, now I would think, you know, what we get Rise of Skywalker in December, so that'll probably hit Blu-ray sometime around March.
Yep.
I would think that I still think we'll hear news of some kind of a 9-movie box set by summertime next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. You know? Actually, they'll probably come out with one for Christmas, and then you'll have to get a second one with that movie included in it. Because that's how they seem to do things.
Oh, yeah.
You
well,
know what I mean?
The only thing is, if we were going to get a Christmas release this year, the news would have been announced already.
That's true. You're so good
with
that retail stuff.
Yeah, I think they're waiting for... Well, because you have to order a couple months in advance.
Right,
so,
right.
But yeah, there's no way there won't be some kind of 9-movie box set. And it just does not make sense for them to go to that trouble to release that and not have 4K versions available.
So let's get into some tweets from this week.
Okay.
So Pierre Ramirez, listener that he commented a while back about living in Colombia, he listens to us.
Mm-hmm.
He's back from Colombia now. But he wrote, just heard your D23 podcast. I think it's possible for Tom, Spider-Man, can enter Venom movie. So Sony can open up the Spider-Verse or Venom-verse. Sony did it for Miles Morales movie, and it was successful. Just like Doctor Strange's second movie is called Multiverse of Madness. Just like Endgame, it was introduced the multiverse. They didn't go into the past. It's more like they jumped to a different time verse. Enjoyed your podcast. Thanks, Pierre.
Yeah, well, and we never said that he couldn't be part of the movie. I just don't. It's just not necessary that he be part of it for the origin story.
Right.
You know,
right?
I never said they couldn't be part of it, and I really think that he will be at some
point.
That is a
good point on how they can introduce that, and it could be a jumping off point for really delving into the multiverse in the MCU,
right?
Because you could bring that character into the Sony verse, you know, Venom. And now that is that Spider-Man. So right. that introduced, you know what I mean? So it kind of brings that brings Venom into the MCU in some way. So it's possible to do.
So let me ask you this, because this just popped into my head, and of course you don't know any more than I do, but could they solve the whole being out of the MCU problem by just introducing the multiverse and letting Tom Holland be the exact same Spider-Man, except he's from a different multiverse right. that never met
similar,
Tony Stark?
Similar to Supergirl yeah. in the CW.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they could.
I mean, it seems cheesy to do that, but
yeah,
that's the way around. That's how you get rid of Happy Hogan. That's how you get rid of
yeah.
Tony Stark. You get rid of everything by just making him from a different Earth and saying, "Hey, this is Tom Holland," but none of that stuff ever happened.
Yeah.
So,
so we have another one, and I meant to do some research on this, and I got busy, and I couldn't make my way to the theater. But this is a good one. JR at Hooded Collector. He's written before. At Brightside Chat, gents, do we have any concept of money saved by studios by not going to the theaters? Distribution, marketing, etc. Excuse me. So I asked him back, I'm like, you mean like go direct to streaming? And I meant to go to the theater and ask a theater manager this question, but I do, and I didn't get to do it, but I do believe the theaters pay for those films. When they
yes.
when they show a movie, they're paying like tens of thousands of dollars to be able to have the right to show the movie.
Yep.
So like that would more than that probably covers the cost of the production of the film that they actually have in-house to play in their projector. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't think that if I'm reading this question correctly, I don't think that the studios are losing any money by putting it in the theater. They're only making money.
They're losing. I guess to back up to the question, I guess where would it be streaming?
Well,
are we assuming
right?
Right, but are we assuming that these are like Netflix made movies, or are we just saying Disney's going to make the movie but only sell it digitally? Because let's say it's a Netflix movie, right? Netflix doesn't really spend anything to market their movie that they've made. It's all done through their app. Whereas something like Endgame spends $200 million to advertise that all over the world to get people to go into the theater and watch
yep.
it. So that's my, I guess my thing is, like, let's say it's a Marvel movie. Let's say the Eternals, just for instance, was not going to be a theater movie. It was only going to play on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I don't think they spend anywhere near $200 million to market that movie, because they're just going to market it through Disney Plus. Every time I log on to watch something, I'm going to see an ad for The Eternals coming in November or whatever.
Yeah.
That's way cheaper than billboards and marketing and TV spots and all that stuff. So I think there's a considerable savings there. But I guess,
but there's also a considerable loss, because
that's what I'm saying. The return's not there,
right?
Because Endgame made $3 billion in the theater, right? How many new subscribers would I have to get on Disney Plus above and beyond what I already had,
right,
to make $3 billion? So
you need money to make money, type thing,
right? So I think there is a savings if you went direct to digital, but I don't think it could be on a platform. Like, they would still have to sell the movie.
Right.
Like, you couldn't go to Disney Plus. You would still have to be selling it through iTunes
right.
or somewhere where they're making money. And then there's still the question of people finding it.
Right. I think,
without that advertising.
I mean, this is a great question, because I think it brings up so many strings to pull here. And I think that's what, and it kind of opens my eyes to the idea that this is what Disney's doing here. That's going to be so nicely, tightly woven, in that it kind of what we wanted with Netflix and Daredevil. We wanted them to show up in the MCU. Well, now they're going to have an entire platform, you know, dedicated to the MCU, where we have shows that are going to weave right into the movies, and vice
right.
versa. So you're going to have these movies that are literally like an Endgame. They're probably not going to make $3 billion like an Endgame, but whatever they make a modest billion. It's right. Like it basically pays for the entire platform of all these shows.
Right.
And then, you know what I mean? So it's like, but then the shows are actually a little bit of advertising for the next movie. And it's like, I mean,
I think it's the other way around. I think the movies now are going to become advertising for the TV shows on Disney Plus.
No, I think it's the other way around.
No, I think their movies are going to be geared towards getting subscribers.
They are right now. They are right now.
To go to Disney Plus.
But I think, imagine a year or two from now, you're going to be seeing some stuff that in these shows, once these shows get off the ground and they have a bunch of them going, and you're going to be like, oh, I can't wait. They're referencing the movie right here. What's coming up? They're referencing, you know, Doctor Strange. And you're going to be like, that is going to be driving people to the movie theater. Plus, it also is going to enable them. They can track all this. What shows are people watching? Which direction do they like? You've got test screening going on for situations that people want to see in the theater. It's something that no other platform is doing right now. DC Universe isn't doing this. They're not mixing like this. Obviously, Netflix isn't. They don't have any kind of universe going on. So there's so much of an opportunity here for both sides to be playing off of each other.
I think the future money is actually in subscribers, and the future money is going to be on the on the app. I believe.
Yeah.
And I think the movies, you know, yes, in some degree, the shows are going to be trying to drive interest for the movies, but I think it's going to be going completely the other way too. Like, they're going to want to say, like, the movie is going to, I can see a world where the movies end with post-credit scenes that involve the Disney Plus TV shows and not just the next movie.
Absolutely.
And the movie is also going to be there to drive new subscribers to that. To that service,
right?
I think
we're kind of saying the same thing. It's just I think both sides are going to play off each other, and it's like, I mean, right now, obviously, all these movies are going to that's what's driving everybody to Disney Plus. But 2 years from now, I think it'll balance out, and they're both pushing in both directions. You know, one last one again from Pierre comes back after our podcast on Monday. He's like, y'all didn't mention Batman Mask of the Phantasm. And he is correct. We did not.
He is correct.
He's like,
that's,
it's
like
a masterpiece.
Yep. Yeah. It is, but it's I don't consider it in the new DCEU. You know what I mean? Or the DC animated universe. To me, it's like,
because it was a movie. It was in the theaters.
Right. You know? Nobody talks about Batman 89 when you're talking about like the new DC movie. It didn't even cross my mind,
me
honestly.
Neither.
But yeah.
But he's right.
That is
a good call.
That is right. It's great. Yeah. But to me, that's the animated Batman verse. You know what I mean? I look at him differently.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the animated Batman, you know, Batman the Animated Series is still the best Batman we've ever had.
Right.
So, I think it just stands separate and apart from everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, he's right, and that's, you're right, that's probably why we didn't think of it, because it's like, oh, if all of these movies, that, it's not in that, it's kind of its own genre above that. But yeah, good call on that.
Yep, for sure.
All right, you got anything else before we get into comics?
No.
All right. How am I gonna spend my money this week?
All right, so we have just a couple of speculator books this week. It really was, you know, considering all the books that came out this week, there weren't a lot of speculator books. You know, continuing our talk of the House of X, Powers of Ten series.
Is that
House
going
of X
well?
Number four. Oh, yeah. It's you may have picked up an issue or two. But, you know, I speculated after last week's show that, you know, the speculator interest would start to die down starting with this issue number four.
Yeah.
Because, again, this was the first issue that we really were able to order with full knowledge of sales. But the demand still seems to be, you know, higher than availability. The regular covers for this are selling for about $8. And some of the variants are, like the connecting Molina variant is selling for around $30. The Scotty Young variant selling for $8. So still $8 to $10 on a lot of these covers. And the demand seems to just keep rising for these. I think part of what fuels that is that we're getting second and third printings of the earlier issues, and we're still picking up new readers. So even though we ordered this with knowledge of our sales for number one, we only knew the sales on the first printings.
Yeah.
And we weren't able to judge the lost sales from what we didn't have. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I think even with the increased ordering on this issue, it still just speaks to how popular this thing is.
It is.
That
yeah.
it's still running short. So now I will amend my statement and say that even by issue six, we probably still won't have the right, we won't have the right numbers for it.
Well, so off of this, how are you as an owner going to judge the new series after this? Because will people have caught up by then? Will you have enough numbers to know how popular that new series is going to be?
Well, I'll be able to market it to every person that has ordered House of X and get some idea. But knowing that, you know, 60 or 70% of those people won't respond until the last minute, I'll order number one in House of X numbers. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'll order pretty big on it. Assuming that anybody that read both of these miniseries is going to want to jump on to X-Men number one.
Right.
I don't know how that's going to translate to New Mutants and, you know, Excalibur and some of these other titles. Those are the ones
right.
I think that are going to be a little bit harder to figure out. I think the X-Men title, at least for the first issue, I think everybody that bought House of X or Powers of X will come back for X-Men number one.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We'll get into more of that later. All right. The next one?
Yeah, so the next one is Midnight Vista. This is a new book from Aftershock Comics. This one has a 1-in-10 variant that's selling for about $18. Regular cover is just going for cover price. So I would think Aftershock offered returnability on this for any copies above 5. So I think a lot of stores probably took advantage of that and maybe order 10 copies to get the 1-in-10 variant. So it may not be super, super hard to find, but still this is one that most stores aren't going to get more than one copy of. So if you can track it down, you know, it may be worth picking up. And last but not least, we have Something is Killing the Children, issue number one. This is another series from Boom that kind of follows along the same path that Once in Future did a few weeks ago. Speculators were onto this book before release today. This is also a book that before today has announced, I think, up to the fourth printing already, you know, mm-hmm. before this one even came out. So lots of demand for this. The A cover is going for just a little bit above retail at $8, but the B cover is sitting at $12, and the Jenny Frisson cover, the C cover, is going for $16 to $20. This is a book that we'll talk about a little bit later on because it is one of the books I read today. But yeah, very hot. This book was very hot. And like I said, if you look back to what happened with the second printing of Once in Future that we talked about last week,
yeah,
it may be worth even trying to jump in there and get some second prints of Someone's Killing the Children if you can find them.
Yeah.
Again, like I talked about with that book, Once in Future, I can't even order specifically the second print anymore. I'm just being told that I'll get filled with whatever printing they're currently on.
Right.
You know, by the time it comes out. So I don't know what's drawing. I really don't know what's drawing the speculators to these Boom books so early before they even come out, to the point where they're having to go to second and third and fourth printings before release day. Whatever it is, this is one to watch. So,
hey.
All right. That's it.
That's it
for Speculator. Yes.
All right. Let's get into Back Issue Bonus.
All right. So the first issue on our Back Issue Bonus is Batwing issue number 19. This is the first appearance of Luke Fox. So there's rumors that started circulating this week that DC is planning to put, a new Batman in the cowl, and the biggest bet right now is that Luke Fox will be the person in the mask. So right now this is selling for about $15, But if any of this rumor turns out to be true, I would expect this book to just explode in value and hit easily $50 the second the news breaks.
Yeah.
That's the case. So get out there and start hunting for this now. If you can find one, you know, at a reasonable price, I would definitely go ahead and pick that up. Next, we have Avengers issue number 47. This is the first appearance of the Black Knight. That's all I'm going to say. I'm sure everybody knows why people want that book.
No idea.
Yeah. So this being a Silver Age Avengers title, you know, again, it already had a pretty good price tag. But raw copies, low grade copies of this are selling for about $100, and high grade copies are up to, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 depending on the grade. So, and once again, we're 2 years away or a year and a half away from this movie hitting the theaters. So it's only going to go up from here. So, you know, be on the lookout now. If you can find a lower grade copy at a good price, I'd go ahead and pick that up. Next, also from Marvel, we have Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, issue number one. This is also back in the spotlight. There's rumors that something with D23 or Disney Plus will happen with Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. So right now, issue number one is selling for about $40, which is insane because that book was going for like $8 a couple of weeks ago. So, and there's a hip hop variant that's only going for like $12, so that's a lot less than the main cover. So that might be a more affordable option to go with if, you know, you're looking to get in on one for a little bit less than $40. And I'm going to skip down to Amazing Spider-Man number 347.
Oh, okay. So, I was interested in that next one.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that off the list because I'm not sure why it matters, actually.
I was interested in it.
Yeah, I didn't do any research on it, so I'll bring it back next week.
Oh boy, look at that. Yeah, a big market tease. Look at us go.
I know, look at us. So, Amazing Spider-Man 347. So, Donny Cates put out a tweet the other day cryptically saying that Venom issue number 21, which comes out in a few months, is going to be related somehow to Amazing Spider-Man 347. We don't know anything more than that or what the connection is going to be. But right now, this is only a $10 book, and it's probably worth a pickup. You know, Donny Cates loves to reference older books and obscure things in his storyline. You know, when he brought back when he brought in the Null, the symbiote god, that related back to an old Mighty Thor issue, and that issue jumped up to like $30-$35 from $2. So, so I would say that this is a good solid pickup. This is really what this segment is about. It's a book that's not high yet, but guarantee will be high when Venom number 21 comes out, because he wouldn't have made a point to bring it up if it wasn't going to have something to do with it. And that's it as far as back issue bonus goes.
Right. Let's get into final order cutoff for Monday. Last week, we kind of dropped the ball on that because...
Did we?
Well, we did it, and then we, you know, recorded our Monday show, but most stores were closed.
I wouldn't say most stores were closed.
For Labor Day?
A lot of stores...
You were.
I mean, I was, but... I don't know that most, I could say just, most stores were closed, but regardless of whether we were open or not, FOC was still due.
No,
like,
I know.
I was sitting in my dark store on Monday morning doing the FOC. But yeah, people would have had to get their orders in probably by Sunday.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I wish we had been smart enough to alert them to that, and we didn't. Yeah. So we apologize, but we'll be better next year.
We'll be better at Memorial Day.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
all right, let's get into this week's FOC.
All right, so from DC Comics, we have Action Comics number 1017 that has a Lucio Perillo variant cover. Batman number 80 has a Francesco Mattina variant cover, as does Deceased number 5, also Francesco Mattina. We have Justice League 35, Tyler Kirkham. and Supergirl number 36, Derek Chu. In addition to that, most of the main covers for most of DC's major titles next month all have an acetate cover that they're going to have where it's kind of like, you know, the overlay image will,
okay,
will add something to the cover.
Oh, cool.
I haven't really seen a lot of them and what they're going to look like 100% yet, but that is something they're doing on all of their major titles for next month, and most of them are on FOC next week. So you can, like I said, the stores will be able to show you what the cover looks like closed, but there's no images of what they look like with the acetate peeled
right
back. So anyways, that's it for DC variant covers. New series from DC, we have Joker and Harley Criminal Sanity. That's issue number one of a 9-issue miniseries. And the one I think is just a crazy book coming out of left field. Superman Smashes the Klan, issue number Jeez. 1 of 3. So, I mean, this is timely, I guess.
Well, isn't that always timely?
Yeah. I don't know where this book is coming from, but yeah, that's on FOC next week too. A couple of covers for both of those books, by the way. And that's it from DC. From Image Comics, we have several new series. Actually, we have a series called Copra, issue number 1. Only one cover for that. There's Dead Eyes, issue number 1, also one cover. There's a book called Gnomon Omen, issue number 1 of a planned 15-issue series. I actually got to read this last week, and it seems pretty interesting. This is a translation and a retelling of an Italian comic,
okay,
that's already run its course there, you know, so it's already a completed story there. And so we're going to get it here, you know, like I said, translated for 15 issues. There's 4 covers available for it. And like I said, I enjoyed the first issue, so I'm actually looking forward to that. And then this isn't a new series, but Spawn issue 301, Spawn issue 300 came out today, had, I don't know, 97 covers for it. This was a pretty big issue. Issue 300, of course, ties the record for the longest running independent series. So, of course, issue 301 comes out and breaks the record, and Spawn will become officially the longest running independent series. So, once again, there's 15 covers available for it. It is a milestone issue. So I would get in and, like I said, decide which cover you're going to want. I don't know if every store will carry all 15 covers in quantity. So if you want specific ones, you might have to order it. That's it from Image. Moving on down to Marvel, we have a variant covers for Black Cat issue number 5. This is the Dodson Mary Jane variant. And Fantastic Four number 15, we have the J. Scott Campbell Mary Jane variant. I really like that one a lot. I'm a sucker for J. Scott Campbell's art anyways. but that would be that's my pick of covers for the week next week. And then several new series and one shots. We have the Absolute Carnage Immortal Hulk number 1. There's multiple covers there. Contagion issue number 1. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. There's 2 covers for it. We have Fantastic Four Grand Designs. This is number 1 of a 2-issue miniseries. We have Future Fight First's White Fox issue number 1. So this is a one shot, and there's going to be several of these. This is revolved around a video game called Future Fight. And it's going to have most of the characters from the Agents of Atlas storyline. So there's multiple covers available for that. We get Ghost Rider issue number 1. So he's back in a new ongoing series. And Spider-Verse issue number 1. This is going to be a 6-issue miniseries. And both of those have multiple cover options. That's it for FOC.
All right. So let's get into, well, this week's books, which
this week
should be a lot. But what do you got highlighted?
I have number one, Something is Killing the Children, issue number one. So that's like we talked about. This is from Boom Studios. It's written by James Tynion, art by Werther Del Edera. I guess I said that right, Del Edera. So this is a book. Did you read this?
No, I wanted to. Okay. I didn't get a chance to. You know, it's my anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I wanted to.
So this was pretty good. This, you know, starts out with a bunch of kids that are at kind of like a sleepover. They're playing Truth or Dare, and, you know, they're trying to, one kid talks about truth, and the question put to him is, you know, when was the last time you were very scared or something like that?
Yeah.
The kid goes on to tell him a story about how he's very scared. He saw something in his backyard coming out of the ravine. Goes on to this whole story about what he saw back there. None of the kids believe him. So he turns around to the guy that asked him the question. He says, okay, truth or dare? And I guess you could probably figure out what happens next.
Yeah.
Right. But you don't see it. You know exactly what happens, right? But you open you go to the next page and the kid's sitting in the police station recounting the story of what happened to all these kids. It's not a spoiler to say that all the kids were killed because the title is called Something is Killing the Children.
Yeah.
So then the story kind of goes from there. You know, all the kids were killed. You don't really know why or how or what happened. And you meet halfway through the book, you meet the other main character. Her name is Erica Slaughter. And unoriginally, she's the monster hunter with the last name Slaughter. But anyway, she meets up with the kid. She wants to hear his story because nobody's really believing what happened, what he's saying.
Yeah.
She does. She comes in and reveals at the end that, you know, she thinks there's a monster and she kills monsters. And that's kind of where the book goes from there. I really liked this book, though. I thought the art was good. I thought the storytelling was pretty good. I don't know where it, like, I don't know what the longevity of this title is going to be. Because it seems like that premise could get old.
They're going to run out of kids.
Fairly quickly. You're right. They're going to kill all the kids. But I guess how many issues in a row can you go with a monster killing kids and her going and hunting down the monster? Well, I guess tell that to Supernatural because they've been doing it for 17 seasons.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't want to take anything away from this book because I really did like it. And I am really interested to go and pick up the next issue. I'm just a little concerned about, like I said, where this story could go long term because I don't believe this is a mini series. I think it's an ongoing series. So that's it. Yeah, Something is Killing the Children.
So it was a good story. You're just not sure.
Yes, I did like it. I just don't know where it's going to go. I guess I'm curious to see where it's going to go because it feels like it could get stale quickly.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he has planned, so, you know, it could go all kinds of crazy directions.
Right.
That we're just not seeing yet, but.
All right.
Like I said, I did like it. It's definitely worth a pickup, and I'd check it out.
All right. So, my first book, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. You might know better. Mystery?
Oh, I don't know. This is the one we talked about. This is what we talked about on FOC. I wasn't sure if it's Mystere or Mystery. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, exactly. From Xenoscope. Mystere, Mystery, number one. So what I liked about this is, one, I like Xenoscope. And I guess this is a story that they've done in the past. It's a character that they've done in the past.
Right.
If you don't know anything about it, which I didn't, you can pick this up and it gives you enough backstory and to be familiar with the character. And then it moves forward from there. I thought it was very entertaining, quick read. By the end, you do want to continue. She's a con artist at the beginning, but she actually sees, to give a little bit of a story here on her, she can bring animals back from the dead.
She's a necromancer for animals.
Yeah. So I was like, that's kind of weird. But she's also a con artist to make money, but she helps with, basically this story was kind of like, I'm surprised I was really caught by the character, and it wasn't an action packed story. I mean, she works in a homeless shelter for a while in here, and it really just gives you a backstory on the person that she is, which is unusual for a comic. It's usually, especially one like, you know, you want action, you want magic, you want whatever. And I really enjoyed it, and I want to see where this character ends up. It's, you know, it was just a good story that you're like, oh, and you really felt for the character by the end. And it's like, hey, I can't wait. It's one I definitely, definitely want to continue with.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, like Zenoscope. I didn't get a chance to read that, but I read the Zenoscope special.
Do you know the
special
character at all?
Well, the Grim Fairy Tale special came out last week.
Yeah.
I did read that over the past week, and it was broken down into five stories that are basically all just advertising upcoming books.
Oh, okay.
And the last story in the book was Mystère. Yeah, it was her. Mystery. I don't know.
I know.
It's a mystery how you say Mystère. So it did give me a little bit of setup for the book. So I was looking forward to it, knowing that it was coming out this week. And you'll be happy to know that it also launched. There's another Robin Hood.
Yes,
miniseries
I saw
coming,
that. It's at the end of it. You got at the end of the book. There's ads for everything that's coming out, and I'm like, oh, psyched.
Oh well, the preview, the prelude to it was in the special last week.
Oh, cool,
too.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, cool.
All right. What's your next highlight?
All right, and second book is Midnight Vista, issue number one from Aftershock Comics. So another book we talked about in our speculator roundup. This book I also liked quite a bit. This was written by Elliot Rahal, and it had art by Clara Meath. So the book starts out, you hear basically a mother arguing with her ex-husband on the phone, about the dad is wanting to move out of state and take the kid with him. And they're fighting back and forth. And while the fighting's going on, you can hear in every panel, there's a blurb from off screen that's just like different commercials or TV shows or whatever, where you could tell that the kid's just flipping through the channels, trying to not listen to the argue, you know, his parents arguing on the phone.
Yeah.
The stepfather there, you know, notices the kid's upset because the mom's fighting, decides to take him out for ice cream. So they leave the house. The stepdad's talking to the kid, trying to calm him down. All of a sudden, they get in a big accident, and it flash forwards ahead 17 years. Come to find out, the kid's been missing the entire time. Like, the kid and the stepfather went missing that night. Nobody's seen him since. And then he pops back up, and, you know, obviously everybody was like, hey, we've been looking for you for 17 years. He's known as the milk carton kid, you know, nobody can figure out where he is, and what happened to him for these 17 years. Well, they were abducted by aliens. So basically they were abducted and held for 17 years and then he's released. So it's kind of, once again, it's one of those things where he's trying to recount what happened to him. Nobody believes it. They all think the stepfather kidnapped him and they disappeared or what have you. Again, I liked this book a lot. I liked the scenes that took place where, you know, he was on the spaceship and, you know, it's just kind of like that, the age-old story where, like, they're abducted by aliens and they conduct experiments. It was kind of like nothing new, like, that we haven't already kind of heard. But usually these alien abduction stories that you hear, they're not gone for 17 years. You know, it's like they happen in their sleep and then they're back in their bed by morning and they, you know, recount everything through dreams and memories. This was not that. He was gone for a long time. We don't know what happened to him while he was gone, past like the first page where he was abducted. So again, it was interesting enough that, I really want to see where this is going to go. I liked it quite a bit. And I just got distracted because I'm reading the synopsis that I have in front of me. And down at the bottom, the very last line says it's based on a very personal, true story from writer Elliot Rahal. So I don't know if Elliot Rahal was abducted by aliens or I'm not quite sure what's going on there. I didn't really notice that until just now when I was talking about it. So I'm more interested now than I was 5 minutes ago because.
Well, look at you talked yourself into a book you've already read.
Right. I talked myself into liking something I liked already. But like I said, that's interesting to me that, this is somehow a true story for Elliot Rahal. I don't think he was abducted by aliens, but.
But you never know.
We'll have to go and see.
Yeah.
So.
All right. You all set with that?
Yeah.
Did you read anything else you want to mention?
Well, I read...
Not books. Anything more on that subject? Are you reading more information? More about a book you've already read?
Well, yeah. I was just staring at it, and so I was like, great. Oh, wait. This says true story.
That's so great. All right. So the next book I'd like to highlight is Legion of Superheroes Millennium Number 1.
Yep.
This is probably not... Of two, by the way. It's one of two, so... this is probably not one that you're going to want to pick up.
Well, I'm going to read it for sure.
Do you know what it's about?
I know that the Legion of Superheroes don't make an appearance anywhere in the book.
So, it's talking about the 1,000-year timeline.
Yeah.
Which you hate. Yeah. I was reading it, and I'm like, uh-oh. It was really, really good. I had a blast.
I heard it was really good.
I had a blast reading it. Some of the, I won't give anything away. There's our characters now are really old and they pop up in the book. The new character, I believe she's new, is the main character in that you're seeing in this book through her eyes. And her name is, Rosenthorn. Have you ever heard of that character before? Okay, good.
No.
I hadn't either, but I wasn't sure. Your background is much more deep. So she wakes up or part of her wakes up. She's been around for a long time. She's very old but she hasn't aged. This is all in the first couple pages.
Okay.
It's kind of a, Jekyll and Hyde type personality. Rosenthorn, that's her name.
Right.
And that's where the story goes from there. And she interacts with different members of different members of the superheroes in her day and age. But this is, I don't even know yet what time period this is yet.
I would guess the 31st century. I haven't read this yet, but that's where the Legion is from.
So it's just very, very entertaining. The artwork is awesome. It's very, it grabs you. I had a lot of fun with it. It jumps around a little bit in the middle. It goes from, you know, it says, and then, and this, and that, you know, so all of a sudden something, you know, the time period changes. So a little bit confusing, but I felt a lot like Powers with this.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what they're doing here. But it's like Powers, you want to know more.
Right.
So it's one of two. Who knows what this is? I'm sure it's leading to much, much more.
Well, yeah. Again, I'm not sure how it relates to the Legion of Superheroes yet because, like I said, spoilers. I know they don't appear in this issue at all. But I do know that the Legion did make their rebirth debut in Superman 14 last week.
Yeah.
And there is an ongoing Legion series coming.
There's a couple
right
of
after
funny,
this ends.
There's a couple of funny lines in here. There's actually quite a few, but one of them refers to all the different. It's like kind of a little play on it. It works in the context of the story, but it also works as a reader, as a comic book fan slash reader, knowing about all the different. You'll see in the book, and you'll get a laugh out of it. You'll be like, "Oh yeah." So it's really good. Really good.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to read it today because I like the Legion of Superheroes and I don't think they get enough use.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, they haven't been in Rebirth.
It's written by Brian Michael Bendis and art by Jim Lee. So,
And Bendis is doing, obviously he does Superman and he's doing the Legion series.
Yeah.
So,
oh, and before we get off that, I failed to mention the writer and artist of Mystery.
Oh yeah.
Written by Ben Mears and artwork by Sergio Arino.
Okay.
So that was for Mystery Xenoscope.
Yep.
So yeah, those are my two books.
All right. And
so what else do we have? What else have you read this week? Let's go with that.
Well, I read House of X number 4. Because I was instructed to read it.
Well, I'm sure you read 3 from last week.
I read 3 last week, yes. I was looking forward to reading this also. I might not have got to it for tonight until I saw the tweet that you put out saying that we're going to talk about it tonight. And I was like, well, I guess I need to read this. And I did. It took me a long time to get through it because I had to keep putting it down because people kept coming in the store.
Oh, but, okay. I thought you were bored with it. I was like,
I couldn't.
right.
I had to keep putting it down. I had to come back to it like 4 times.
Yeah. And that's a tough way to read that book.
It is. It was really hard because these books are so involved. This one, not as much, though. I mean, again, this one read more like a traditional comic book.
Yeah.
You kind of had the white
that's
page.
That's refreshing.
It is. It's nice to have a comic book that reads like a comic book. But this one had the white page, like the very first page.
At the beginning. Which
and then
is
it
daunting.
Was kinda,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, but then it was done. Then it was just like a regular comic all the way through. But, yeah, if you read number 3 last week, obviously there was a major cliffhanger at the end.
Yeah,
and this
boom.
One picks up. Yeah, picks up right where that left off. This book is crazy. The stakes are really getting higher now with this series. I don't want to give away anything
exactly.
for anybody that hasn't had a chance to read it yet, but I will say not everybody makes it out of this issue.
And that's when I tweeted out today, I'm just like, it's just an amazing, fascinating, I think is the word I use. It's just like, you don't know what's going to be on the next page.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's like, you don't know what characters are going to be there. You don't know what, you know, it could be a white page.
Right. Well,
and what's so funny is like that's now a term in common, white pages.
Well, I had to go back and look and see if this was one of the red bar issues.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's not.
The next house is.
Right. Which is not next week though. It's not until the week
after.
We
have powers next week.
But. This is a devastating issue if the events of this issue don't get undone. You know what I mean? Because that happens a lot in comics. So there's a chance that at least one of these characters I know for sure comes back because we've seen them in the future timeline.
Yep. Yes. But, I know exactly who you're talking about because I thought the same thing.
Yeah. But the others, maybe
we
not
haven't.
So much. Yeah. And like I said, this is a very devastating issue if it turns out to be true because
I think the entire story is devastating in that in those first white pages. And I don't think this is a spoiler to give away. It's like it gives you the amount of, you know, death.
Yeah.
It tells you all of the, you know, the mutant population and how it is decimated throughout history. And it's really, really like, and by the end of the book, you're like, you're seeing it and it's.
Yeah, it's gloomy.
Yeah, it's gloomy. And I think, I don't know how this story is going to wrap up. I don't think it does quote unquote wrap up, but I think at the, the conclusion of this, we're going to get, like, when we get the X-Men after this, it's going to pick up in the middle and we'll get a segment. But they're going to be able to jump around. They're going to have other books that start in other places. And I just love this universe that they've got going here.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's, if you're reading it, you already know. We're not telling you anything. If you're not reading it, there's still time. I would definitely get in there and pick up this series.
I'm interested to hear from somebody that doesn't like it, to be honest with you. I haven't heard anybody that's reading it that doesn't like it.
I haven't either. I haven't either. Not one person has come back to me and either canceled their subscription or said they don't like it.
Right.
Like, everybody is in on Wednesday to pick up their copy so they can read it.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those books that I'd sell the majority of copies on Wednesday. You know, a lot of people just come in and pick up their boxes whenever, but most of these people are coming in to get these books.
Yeah, they're not waiting.
Yeah, they can't wait to read it.
And there's the conversations that are going on about it are taking place on Thursday and Friday. And if you haven't read it, you're going to get spoiled.
Right.
So it's,
hell, they're taking place Wednesday morning, really.
Right.
You're not on social media, if you haven't read these things, stay off of social media.
Yeah.
Because, like, I already saw stories about this issue online on Facebook today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's, well.
But yeah, like I said, if you're reading this, you already know how good it is. If you're not, you should be. But yeah, the stakes are just getting higher. Like, you know, there's what, five issues left, I think, total. I can't even imagine what we're going to see before this thing is over.
Right. Yeah, that's it's funny. I'm really looking forward to the next house. After this book here, I have a feeling we're going to go down a dip here for Powers next week.
But then that issue 5 with that red bar on the timeline really has me thinking something big is going to happen.
But that's
there.
For House.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
2 weeks from now.
Right. And that's what I mean.
Yeah, I think
that's
Powers next week will probably be a little bit of a drop down.
If for no other, there's nothing wrong with the book. It might just be that we're looking ahead from where we are right now. We just want to see where this goes.
Right.
You know, and it's nothing wrong with the Powers book. It's just, you just want to get to that, the next, you know, 5.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the Powers, not that they're bad issues, because they're not, but they seem to focus more on the other timelines that I just don't care as much about. You know?
Right. All right. What else? Did you get a chance to read Deceased?
No.
This week?
I haven't read anything else. Those three books. Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, Deceased, Good Day to Die. What is that? Is that what it was? Yeah, Good Day to Die, number one.
Yeah, Good Day to Die.
Right. That's a very good story. That's it's number one, but it's part of the Deceased series. It's really good. It's really good. That's it's just a good story.
Okay.
Looking forward.
Yeah,
to
I'm interested to read that because I don't know where it falls in the timeline of what we're already reading from Deceased.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the last issue of Deceased left us with a pretty big cliffhanger as well. So
yeah, this isn't in that. This is
okay, something different.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I've seen it.
I wasn't crazy about it.
No.
I read it. It's so it's basically them, the two of them, dealing with Poison Ivy coming back from, you know, the dead.
Heroes. Yeah.
From Heroes, you know.
Right.
And it's kind of a little bit crazy, but I didn't find it as fun as I wanted it to be for me.
Okay.
It just was like a lot of just like, oh, let's go shopping and maybe that'll cheer you up. And I'm like, what?
I've liked their relationship in the past in the Harley story, the Harley book. Like I said, I haven't read this yet, so I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah. Let me know what you think when you
But
read
I like
it.
Harley when she has that. Like I said, if you read her ongoing series, I like that version of her where it's kind of zany, kind of Looney Tunes in a way. And I don't know where this book, you know, obviously she's been treated more seriously in other incarnations. So,
yeah,
I'll have to see. But yeah, I'll let you know when I get a chance to read it this week.
So also, Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, number 5. That story is going great. I love the artwork in that. I love, cause I love, it's just such a crossover, you know, from it, it's really just Batman. We've said it before. Batman drawn in Turtles.
Right.
Turtles.
But it's Freddie Highmore, right? I think that's his name.
I think so.
I can't remember. It's Freddie something. I wanted to say Freddie Freeman, but that's from Shazam.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that story's going well. I, one more book on that, I believe. I think it concludes in number 6. I got two more. Vampirella Red Sonja. That story was really good. Number 1, Dynamite Vampirella. It's basically, you know, it's Vampirella running around, and it's, I mean, it's kind of a spoiler, but it, you don't know the story, but at the end, you don't even get Red Sonja until the last page.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good Vampirella story leading up to it and what's going to go on. I enjoyed it. It was good. Good read. And the last one. Did you read this one I told you about, The Bloodshot?
No. No, I haven't
get a chance to read that?
No.
All right. Maybe we could save that for next week if you can read it by next week, because that one doesn't come out until the 20th, but we were lucky enough to get the preview for it.
Right.
So maybe you can read that for next week, and we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
But we have to talk. We're only allowed to talk spoiler free.
Yeah.
So that'll give everybody enough time, because I think the FOC on that was last week.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
Yeah. It comes out in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So. All right. I think that's about it for books this week.
All right.
You got anything else?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. That's it. Anything that we missed, any comments, we'll read them. Hit us on Twitter, @thebrightside_chat. You can email us too, thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can DM us on Twitter as well. That's how we get a few of our comments. And iTunes. Yeah, please rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. We appreciate all of that. And we need all that. That's what's... So keep helping us out with that stuff, and we'll keep doing what we can do. Let's see. What are we doing on Monday? Alita Battle Angel?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then I keep forgetting which way to go, because the comics are one way, and then her name, and I'll have that for Monday, Alita Battle Angel. All right, that it?
Yep.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, take care.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to The Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.